disappointing in the performance. You know, it's our job as coaches to make sure these guys are ready to go, and we got to go back and evaluate the way we prepare and figure out exactly, you know, the mishaps occurred in the preparation.
I'm so proud of our kids, the coaches, just everybody. They believe. It ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no senator songs. What you can do with the power of belief and working together and just staying through it, through thick and thin, that's what we are. That's a team. That's a family. That's guys that want it. I told you all week, we cannot be lost.
Notre Dame. Oh, good Lord. Marcus Freeman. Brother. Oh, God. High top! Rocket, baby. It's a Monday. The boys are not back in town. Well, they're back in town. We are high top today. How about that, Freeman? I'll take Tommy Hollock, please. What a winner he is. Good Lord. Fade it out, Chuck. Ah, good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful, 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 another beautiful day. How many beautiful 80-degree low humidity days can we possibly have? I don't want to put the kibosh on it. And we haven't golfed once. You know, Chatty Boy's been CFA'd, and he's been away and dizzy for 9 weeks, it feels like. And Kyle and I are chomping at the bit to get out. Oh, my Lord. But life is great. We're not complaining. Chad is busy. Coach Al is a tad under the weather, so here we are. You're stuck with me, and we'll make the most of it today. What are the odds, before we get started, there are over 100 million songs out there in production, recorded. 100 million. Some people say 200 million, whatever. So I'm going to give you a little trivia test here. Test your math skills to start this Monday, okay? And if you don't answer within 3 seconds, the buzzer goes off. That's all you get. Now, we're going to hold you to your honor. Ready? Everybody ready? 100 million songs. Give me, in 3 seconds or less, 1% of 100 million. 3, 2, 1. That's it. How many people said 10 million? All right. What do you think? Anybody out there say a million? I know a couple people that are real good with math. So a million, 1% of 100 million. And WIP Radio has the same theme song to their morning show as we do, Fortunate Son. What are the odds? You do the math. Let me know. We started before they did with the new crew, Joe DeCameron Company. We were in production well before them. And I've had that song from the onset. There's a lot of songs, and that's the one they're playing today. I played about a minute and a half of it. Fired me up at 6 o'clock in the morning. But I'm thinking, I said to Marion, do you believe she wakes up? She goes, are you playing that off your phone? Thinking I'm going to fire myself up on a Monday. Play the Speaking of Sports podcast theme song. I'm like, no, hon, that's coming from WIP. She goes, no, you're pulling my leg. No, true story. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that bad little trivia thing out there because it's nuts. All right. Let's dive in. You know, we heard the Fighting Irish theme song. It's a great song. I don't know what it stands for nowadays. We heard the car crash. We heard Freeman. We heard Hammock, Tommy Hammock. I was calling him Hammond after the game, of course. So everybody's Googling Tom Hammond, H-A-M-M-O-N-D. And people are texting me back after dinner. Saturday and Sunday. By the way, if you have not been to Ralph's Italian Food on 9th Street over in South Philly, if you haven't been to Ralph's, make me two promises, our growing body of listeners. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. It's fun. And I don't care about the pace of what people, do you advertise? Do you get bought out? Do you want sponsors? We've said no to a bunch of sponsors, one of them for a lot of money. We've said no to all advertising. We don't even advertise Grimley Financial. But if you do have a cash flow problem, and it's B2B or a consumer, you're a fool if you don't call the good folks over at Grimley Financial. 800-673-1414, I think. It's pitiful. I don't know my own phone number, right? Anyway, Ralph's over in South Philly for Italian food. I told the waiter yesterday I'm eating the best red sauce I have ever. I'm 70. Mom made a really good red sauce. My wife makes a really good red sauce. Marion, I was eating a red sauce with the mussels, garlic in it, a little bit of the mussel taste, and I proclaimed it the best red sauce I've ever had in my life. So I'm sorry to take up the sports podcast time with a math question and then a pitch for Ralph's. But hey, it's a goodwill. It's a service, man. I love you all. And if you absolutely worship Italian food like I do, that's my last meal is not going to be a steak. It sounds blasphemy. That's going to be Italian food. And I'm going to Ralph's. And yes, I got the veal parm mace. That doesn't sound very exciting, right? I got the house staple, man. One in Rome. Veal parm, extra cheese, and tell the chef not as much red sauce and to kill it. I wanted it crispy. Thin. Stop with spinach and with the mussels before. And they nailed the espresso martini. I'm telling you what, man, the meal for a king, which is phenomenal. So I still got the names wrong, right? It was Tommy Hammond. How about that? Just love the guy. I put out early during the game. By the way, truth be told, I took Northern Illinois and Illy and with the points at 28, not only in our pool of six guys, and that would be, of course, Tommy and Bunny and Joey and Chad and Kyle and yours truly. All right, that's the group. And I took Northern Illinois plus the 28 points. I did. I also took them as my lock of the week. True story. And I gave it out to some people. I studied the box score from last week, and I did say to a bunch of people, they will move the ball on Notre Dame. They absolutely will have 350 yards of offense. And if you do go over 350 yards of offense and you're getting 28 points, when you do that correlation, that situation may have never not covered a 28-point line. But I'm not getting to the point, am I? I got you thinking about veal parm. I got you thinking about 1% of 100 million. I haven't said yet that why has a storied, can't call them a franchise like the pro, but a storied college football legacy, winning tradition, Notre Dame. What on earth has happened to Notre Dame? You play the fight song, and it's still a great song. Doesn't resonate anymore because when they lose to Marshall and a terrible Stanford team and Navy, okay, under Freeman's watch, you've got to be kidding me. There's a stat out there that 28 losses, 28 losses by a team favored by 16 since 2022. I should have started off with that. I'm out of practice. It's been 10 days since 2022. There have been 28 losses by a team that's been a 16-point favorite. Notre Dame has four of them. That's poor coaching. That's blatantly unacceptable, by the way. When you beat Texas, and by the way, Notre Dame will set you up for false hope. They are the quintessential, you know, king of beating Texas A&M and coming home and laying an egg. And, man, I love consistency. Don't give me that fluke. You know, spike up, go down to the valley, spike back up. I can't stand a player or a team like that. If you can't manage consistency, I don't want any parts of you, okay? And by the way, I think this is what's going to happen. Two things are going to happen. Mark my words here. And then I got to talk to you about a very interesting question I was asked over the weekend. It was a genuine question. Okay, two things are going to happen trend-wise. Texas A&M will prove to not be as good as people thought. Write that down. Tim, check them. Okay, mid-year, check them at the end. You're not talking about a team that's going to have one loss to Notre Dame. All right, so so Notre Dame gets illuminated in that window. But over time, if it was a week 9 game, whole different scenario. You know who they are. You thought they're going to be terrific. Watch them. On the other hand, in court reporting, I was a court reporter, there's two keys you hit for on the other hand. It's used a lot in depositions and testimony. So it's two keys. Boom, on the other hand. On the other hand, do I remember what the keys are? Northern Illinois is going to have a very good year. They play Bowling Green. They gave Penn State some issues. They play Ball State. I think they can run the table. And if they run the table with a win over Notre Dame at South Bend, that they paid $1.4 million to come to South Bend and win. How about that? $1.4 million, come to our house and beat us. Oh, boy. And maybe that's the math you ought to do. And Notre Dame ends up respectable. Then that will illuminate the stock of Northern Illinois. And you could want postseason. They'll be in the 12. So it's that's what you have to take into consideration, that Texas A&M is going to end up being not that good. And I think Northern Illinois is going to actually be a formidable team in that area, in that space. Be that as it may, they're 28-point underdog. They should not have been 28 points. I handicapped that game to plus 12, and that's when I knew I had to use as a lock. But you can't lose to them. And you can't lose the other games that they've lost under his watch. It speaks to a variety of problems going on with leadership, planning, everything, assistant coach, the whole thing, top-down, wholesale problems at Notre Dame. I don't know that everything that goes along, and I'm a Notre Dame fan. I've been out there to South Bend a bunch of times. It's a mecca. I get the chills. I can only compare Notre Dame to Wrigley Field and the likes of Fenway Park. I haven't been to Green Bay, but the magic, the whole thing, it's wearing off the shine, man. You can't keep supporting this team that year after year lets you down. And that started before Freeman. I just don't think this cat has the right answers. I don't think he has a clue. I watch him coaching during the game. I talk about adjustments I think he should make. I don't see him. Yeah, the quarterback from Duke, Riley Leonard, he looks like he stinks. Take a look at his best games. You can always tell you guys, look beyond the surface. You'll find reality in the data if you want to. How many times do we hear a guest on the radio, this guy, the da blah, 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 and it needs an index. But people are, I don't know, too lazy, not enthusiastic enough, the opposite, to do it. Do your research. I had dinner with a dear friend of mine the other night, and this guy's not lazy. He's the opposite. He's a go-getter, man. And he's funny. Doran's, we're having cocktails, having a good time. We decided to order the menu. Yeah, when we were going to take it all home. Only problem was, there's nothing left to take home. My man can put it away. And he says to me, you're right about one thing. I just love those compliments that you're right about one thing. You know, the old me would make you go through the menu, the list of everything right and wrong. Okay. The more mature me, now that I'm 70, takes its stride. We're talking about the Phillies and the fact that they, how you qualify the team is good with the winning series and stuff like that. And the point that I've made the entire season, and it may mean nothing come postseason. I totally agree with that. is the ability to go on the road and beat a good team. And you just don't have a lot of that this year. And I'm throwing out some of the teams that when they play 500 teams are terrible, terrible. Minnesota Twins. There's teams they have beat that when those teams play the better teams, they're 15 games under 500. I'm talking about the likeness of the Phillies on the road, how they've done. Now we're talking about the Orioles, et cetera. And they, you know, that's the last podcast I gave you the stat where they were like 4-16. A road series where the Phillies have gone in, faced the good pitching, and prevailed. And I know the response to that is, well, what team does do that? You know, so we're off on baseball, but we didn't complete the Notre Dame, did we? This guy for Northern Illinois that was crying after the game, this guy is so genuine.
I'm so proud of our kids, the coaches, just everybody. They believed. They believed. And we came here and got it done.
You told your guys this week that you didn't need anyone to be a superhero or superhuman. They just needed to be their best. What kind of performances did you see out there?
They listened to what I said. I told them all week, we don't need luck. We just got to be our best. And they was their best today. And we was able to get it done.
Man, I just love the raw emotion. You, somebody said it's okay to cry. You know what? Look at this guy's resume. All right. Look how he has worked his way up. You know, at different jobs, graduate assistant all the way up, man. He was with the Ravens for 5 years. All throughout his career, he has been part of setting records and winning championships. This is just a good guy, good coach. Talk about pouring your heart out. This guy came to South Bend telling his team, we don't need luck. We're good enough to win the game. Don't look for luck. Win it on skill. Trust yourself. Early in the game, there's a play. And this cat, who's kind of, you know, if I had legs, would be doing the same things, this guy and I. He's sprinting down the sidelines, just boiling over with enthusiasm. And I'm texting my inner circle, watch this guy on the sidelines. It's just a sideshow. It's great. Just raw, unbridled enthusiasm. Somebody who just is genuine and not going to BS you like we get. How about Freeman's post? Yeah, we've been here before. Yeah, that's the problem. You've been here a lot of times before with losses to teams that you're a 16-point favorite. You sure have been here before. And, you know, well, I'm not going to get started on that. I'm not going to get started on that part. I think a lot of people know where I'm going. But anyway, I just love this guy, Tom Hammock, and what he's done with that team, that whole program. To put him into the top 25 first time since 2013, everything that goes with it, man, it just absolutely. Do I? Hey, listen, am I cheering for him to beat Notre Dame? Well, let's be honest. When I see a team come in as a 20-point underdog, part of me is pulling for him to win that game. It's late and they have a chance. What do you do? Root against them. I mean, they have 388 yards of offense in a game. Have they earned it? They've held Notre Dame to 286 in South Bend. Have they earned it? Damn right they have. So yeah, I was at a place we go to, Ocean Prime, another place on Saturday night. It's great sushi, and we're watching the TV from 50 feet away, and we saw the 62-yarder. I think it got blocked, and it was just fantastic. The whole thing was just fantastic. And now Notre Dame has Purdue up next. Good luck with that. I don't know how they respond. Riley Leonard, no TD passes in two games. You know, I think he's left his heart back in Duke and his skill sets. And if you don't have a quarterback, they can scheme against you. If you don't have a quarterback, you may not run and have a prolific quarterback, and you can live to tell about it. If you don't have a quarterback that can throw the ball to open receivers, I don't really care how much you run, okay? And they're not going to run that much anyway. So that's a problem. And I think the wheels, at least the lug nuts are off the wheels. We'll see if Notre Dame can rein it back in. But it can't happen every year. It's unacceptable. The program needs an overhaul. I think I have inside knowledge as to what's going on. Not that's for another podcast, because I'd probably have to rinse some of my comments by an authority. But anyway, it's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. College football has gotten off to another great start. You've had some, you know, absolutely epic games. They just come right out, college football. And I'll tell you, when I look at the pro highlights compared to college football, I swear the college game is playing at a 78 speed, and pro football looks like it's much slower. It just looks that way. Maybe it's the surfaces. I don't know. Maybe I'm watching, you know, different highlights. But I just absolutely worship college football, man. And we haven't yet had some, you know, when you get that Saturday in mid-October where you got five or six classic, you know, conference games. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Texas looks like they're going to be formidable. Alabama scores 28 points in 3 minutes, you know, to end the game and give Bunny a win. You've got some teams out there that are very good. You got some teams surprising college football fans, and you got your, I would say, perennial disappointments. You want to call them a fraud? Go ahead, get the fraud stamp out and use it on Notre Dame. You know, you lose to a 28-point underdog. That's just ridiculous. And I could go on and on, but I think maybe it's time to switch over to pro football. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, man, I love that. The sound of Monday Night Football resonates, doesn't it? Hey, I was okay with the Eagles' performance. It's game one. Nobody played in the exhibition. Hey, you got Russ, man. It's his live action with the Gladiators coming at you, right? The bottom line is the Eagles are one of the three teams that put up 25 first downs, 400 yards of offense. They balance their passing and their rushing game. Barkley certainly looks like the real deal. Let's see how he wears, okay? He has a tendency to do better early, but let's see how he, his endurance. The two picks, unacceptable. Both are unacceptable. The one in the end zone is intolerable. That's just, you can't ever have it. The decision-making makes him look very, very immature as a quarterback. He just can't. But, you know, A.J. puts up a $120. You know, Smith, it's all there, right? They run, they throw, they catch. And the defense, you know where the game is won? Sure you do. The trivia question number two. When did you know the Eagles were going to win the game? Dun, dun, 3 seconds, 6 seconds. When they held Green Bay early in the game, what was it, to 6 points? If I tell you I'm in a restaurant, you're going to go, wait a minute, we're doing the math here. You were at Rouse on Sunday. You're at Ocean Prime on Saturday, and you're going to tell us that you didn't see the first half of the Eagles game because you were at the Capitol Grill on Friday. I don't do that every weekend. This was a very unusual weekend where we had things planned in advance. But I can tell you well, I won't rank the restaurants, but I pretty much have ranked the restaurants, okay? So as first half, I'm watching from 25 feet away, and it doesn't look great. But I'm thinking Green Bay's up like 14-0, and meanwhile the defense stepped up. That's where the game is won right there. The game is won when the defense, especially off a turnover, precludes the other team from the points that you ordinarily would put on the board. Okay. So you get two turnovers early, and it can be 14-0. It obviously can be 10. But what do you get from that? You hold the other team to the best situation possible. Well, miss field goal, okay? But 6 points. Right away, in my book, you know what I do? I credit, and I put this out to my guys that are nice enough to listen to me. I put it out to my guys. Good luck, Kyle, by the way. We love having you in your room. It's been impressive so far. I put out plus eight in points because they should have had 14. They got six. 8-6, I think, is 14. So that's where the game is won right there. But, you know, some of the other games, and I didn't watch them. I was working, actually, for GFC yesterday a lot. Some of the other games, I mean, the NFL's got a problem. If they, if you're going to have the New York Giants and the likes of the New York Giants with 80 yards in the third quarter, I mean, I could go on. Caroline, I got a list here of eight games where if I get, and I had it all right now. I was going to give you the stats, but you're going to hear the same thing. 3.2 yards per carry average for the team over seven games. Okay. Quarterback QBR, quarterback rating of 15 and 28. You know, good is 85 to 110. I mean, the NFL, hear me out, doesn't have the pedigree of quarterbacks. They got big names. They got brand. They do not have the pedigree of quarterbacks necessary to function at a premium level in the NFL, against the NFL defenses. Okay? You need, when they're audibilizing, and I got this from a lot of people, one of our good friends that moved away, and he has a big job now with Michigan, Tommy, whose dad was president of the Eagles, he told me one time in the pool, Earlton Swim Club, what he saw Manning go through in practice. I've used it on the podcast before, how he would audibilize at practice, you know, given the clock. And he would change the play five times and then tap the center twice, then the guard. And that would be another silent audible because, obviously, his teammates on defense knew what he was doing, right? So they would spook him and go into something to stop what he's doing in practice. And he would successfully override it, okay, and score a touchdown. And my buddy Tommy's quote was, the coaches were mesmerized on the field watching Manning do this stuff, Peyton Manning do this stuff. Why do I say that? Trying to establish the mindset with you guys as to how damn, I should say darn sophisticated running an NFL offense is. The defense doesn't line up 11 guys and fold their arms, go to sleep. They're counterintuitive, changing to every audible. This is a chess match that's going on in seconds. Change, boom, boom, change, change. Blue, 52. Watch the defense move. Eight, override eight, right? Carolina, 8-2. That's all going on in the shot clock, man, and play clock, whatever it's called. And that's what the new quarterbacks struggle mightily with. And if you don't change out and make the right call against the defense, the play basically has very little chance for success. That's my opinion. That's what I think you're seeing. You're seeing some of the big names come out from Ohio State and the big schools, and they can't mesh into the NFL offensive scheme. Why? Okay. You do your math there, okay? You take a look at our guy, Hurts, highly critical of some of his play calling last year. Let's see how he does this year. The two interceptions, one of them is blatantly dumb, stupid. He can't do it. I'm not calling him stupid. What I'm saying is that decision to release the ball in the end zone, I mean, you got other options, brother, but you can't take that one. How do these new quarterbacks, when I say new, I'm not talking about the first game, by the way. I'm talking about, you know, how they matriculated over the first 3, 4, 5 years. Can you plot these guys and say they're getting better? You know, but anyway, the whole scenario about the New York Giants getting rid of Barkley, when, you know, you had the ownership frowning upon getting rid of Barkley. We got a couple of video clips. These are priceless, where you're inside the think tank with the GM and ownership, and they're basically cautioning us, like, hey, be careful here what you do. This is our prized possession. We can't let Barkley leave. And you got the GM. I'll tell you, one of my managers ever said, yeah, I'll make a few phone calls. I dismiss him from his obligations. The duty's effective immediately. Talk about a very lame response. Anyway, you're going to hear this. There's a couple of videos. We'll put them together. Richie will do a good job with this. And I apologize in advance. The audio's not great, but you got to hear it, because this is where Barkley ends up being an ex-New York Giant and the franchise player and 68% of their offense, not just running and pass receiving, walks out the door for what amounts to selling 100 more jerseys per game.
The right thing, we're going to let you hit free agency, find out your market, come back, and let us know if we can match it. If we can, you know, we'll have those discussions.
I mean, in a perfect world, I'd still like to have you back. I just, until we can prove that we can do, have a decent offense without him.
Daniel's making a lot of money, and it's the fork, like, we got to figure out is he the guy, so we got to protect him.
What's the latest? Just on the save one thing.
I just got a text that Chicago's driving the price up and Philly's out. I don't know if that's true or not. Which I don't know. I'll make a couple calls. I don't even know if that's going to happen, but...
I have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia. I'll tell you that. As I told you, just be out. I haven't been around enough players. But he's the most popular player we have by far.
Yeah.
In a way, Barkley goes to, you know, to the Eagles and the Giants. The whole fan base, just you let the air out. Another balloon. Pop. Where do you go from there? Right, and you invest it in Jones. Great investment, and let Barkley walk. It's just incredible. How about the bizarre scenario with the Miami Dolphins receiver that was pulled over, Tyreek Hill? It is absolutely amazing when you take a look at that situation. And he's Tyreek Hill, pulling into the parking lot of the stadium. And he ends up being detained, handcuffed, thrown to the ground. I just don't know what the world's coming to, man. I mean, you look at the cops that are all the jollies, you know, with the situation. You know the car. Tyreek Hill doesn't sneak up on you, all right? Nor does the Rolls-Royce SUV in back of him, which is a classic story. So for whatever reasons, they pull him over, and we don't have all the details. I do have an inside source that called me, kind of a new source that I've groomed over the last 2 years from down there in the area, call me and give me the backstory. But it's not verified yet, and I'm not going to use any of it. But apparently, you know, he was exceeding the speed limit in that back road, whatever. And they pull him over, and it's a little slow getting the window down, da-da-da-da. And then it escalates, man. Like, it's Tyreek Hill. You know it's Tyreek Hill.
Right now I'm still trying to put it all together. So I'm not going to give you a version that I still don't know what happened. You know what I'm saying? But I do want to say, I do want to be able to use this platform to say, like, what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill, bro? Like, worst case scenario, you know, because it's crazy. Like, I want to be a cop one day. I got a state trooper hat, all that, you know, so I got a lot of respect for cops, man. But obviously, you know, everybody has bad apples in every situation, you know. So I want to be able to, you know, use this platform, you know, to figure out a way to, like, flip this and, you know, make it a positive on both ends, on my end and then also Miami-Dade, you know, so that way we can team together and, you know, do something positive for the community, because that's what it's all about, bro. It wasn't disrespectful, you know, because my mom didn't raise me that way, didn't cuss, didn't do none of that. So, like I said, I'm still trying to figure it out, man. I'm just glad that my teammates were there to, like, support me in that situation, because I felt alone, you know, and when they showed up, it made me realize that we got a good team this year, dog. For them to, like, put their life on the line. You know what I'm saying? So it was amazing to see, man.
It's a heartbreaking situation. Obviously, I love Tyreek. I hated to see him in the situation he was in with the police. He is gonna play today. Number one, he's okay. Number two, he's gonna play. Number three, apparently he got a ticket for a moving violation entering the stadium. How things escalated into the situation that they were in handcuffs and being held on the ground with police is mind-boggling to me. I'm deeply concerned by that, very troubled. We will be looking into it. We will be investigating this. We will look out for Tyreek, but I'm not going to make any allegations at this time. The most important thing is Tyreek is okay physically, mentally. He was very distraught about what happened. Tyreek has told me over and over he's a big supporter of police. He was telling the police there, I want to be a police officer in the future, but this is crazy. I've never seen anything like this.
You're the cops. You pull over Tyreek Hill. You know who he is, and maybe he doesn't know what's going on, so he's not, you know, real quick to foot the other car or whatever, comply. You push the panic button. Next thing you got handcuffs on a guy, and then you take him down to the ground. My Lord, what if another driver, because some of the cars going by that scene were traveling at a pretty good rate of speed. What if a driver, careless driver with their head down, okay, runs over the guy while he's on the pavement? I mean, why are we losing our sense of equilibrium? Why are we losing our sense of cool and calm? What threat does he present? What kind of show are you trying to put on or show off to who? The general public, that you've got the superstar in handcuffs and now you're going to put him on the ground? I mean, it's just such a spectacle, such a fiasco. And in my opinion, until I hear facts that justify what I've seen on the video, just terrible police work. And man, listen, I'm not against the cops. I'm not one of those cats that rants against, you know, law enforcement, et cetera. But we've all seen examples that are horrific, okay? More than one, more than 10. This one here could escalate so quick. Thank God. You know, I mean, they know who he is. You know, he basically had Bryce Harper coming down the back road to the stadium a little too fast. So four Philly cops pull him over. And the next, you know, Bryce Harper's in handcuffs on the ground, you know, face down. Are you kidding me? There better be sufficient justification for that, all right? But you know there wasn't. And then next, I thought it was cool that one of his teammates, the offensive lineman, goes by in his Rolls-Royce SUV. The guy's about 340. He's like, hey, man, that's my brother. What's going on? He stops. He ends up in handcuffs because he's going to say, "What the, you know, stop this nonsense, you know?" Oh, my Lord, what a fiasco. And, you know, it all starts with a simple overreaction to a scenario. And you have to have a little bit of bandwidth, man. You have to have a little tolerance. Maybe he wasn't perfect in his response. Maybe he said something he should have said. Maybe, hey, man, I got to get to an effing game. Yeah, but, hey, you got to slow it down. All right, man, I got it. You know, whatever. Hey, you said the wrong thing. Right, get out. We're going to put handcuffs on you. You got to be kidding me, man. If that's not another wake-up call amongst wake-up calls, you know, that we got to become a more civil nation, man. I mean, have some tolerance. Make some exceptions where they're warranted, okay? Read the tea leaves, brother. I mean, come on. And there was no leadership in the group. Where was the one cop that took over and said, hey, Harry, back off. Come on, man. We don't need this overkill here. Let the guy get to the game here. But there's a warning, Tyreek. Slow it down when you come through here, okay, brother? Good luck today. Where's that guy? It seems like when one of these idiots gets overzealous, it is a feeding frenzy for the other ones. They all hop in. It's like the guy who throws the first punch. I'll never forget working in security when I worked at Bleeps, you know, as a bouncer, right? I wasn't really qualified for the job because I'm not a violent person. I don't advocate fist fights. But the pay was good, and he got all the phone numbers you could. True story. But I remember a couple of times where push did come to shove, and the next thing you know, one of the guys in the back, it's always the guy in the background coming in with a punch over the shoulder, right? That's the guy I'd put my eye on, you know? I get the first guy and somebody bigger than me and go after the second guy, you know? Cheap shots. People that look for the opportunity to be macho man, you know, and meanwhile, they're the cowardly lion, but there's a window for them to look like a tough guy. Oh, that's the guy. I still got my eye on this guy. I'm 70. I'll still look for that situation, all right? People, oh, I don't know. Chuck's advocating violence. No, I'm not at all. I have never in my entire life been in an altercation. Now, you know, two guys standing there, you're going to have a fist fight? No, never had that. Have I broken up a bunch? Yeah. Have I intervened? Yeah. Have we had a couple pushing me? Yeah. Okay. I almost want to kill a few umpires, I can tell you that. But no, I'm not that person. But it just looked cowardly on behalf of the police. I just thought it was a bad scene all the way around. No doubt about it. NFL, I don't know what they're going to do with they need quarterbacks, man. They need to groom quarterbacks. If you look at the NFC, obviously Dallas always looks good in the beginning. You know, the quarterback gets his $400 million contract, and that's all good till you ask him to do that in postseason. And then all of a sudden, Prescott's not a $400 million quarterback. Who is he in postseason, right? But, hey, nice win over in Cleveland. They're giving that kid way too much time, that Ivy Leaguer, whoever, I forget his name, but he's a nice guy. I've met him. But he's just not getting it done in Cleveland. All teams have offensive linemen missing. All teams have different problems with injuries this time of year. It happens in camp. No one's playing yesterday 100%. Look at the games. Check the injured list, man. You'll see that. But, you know, Dallas puts up a lot of points and not, pay attention, just in case you're using Dallas next week, not a lot of offense. It's one of those anomalies where you get a 300-yard offensive team putting up a lot of points. Look inside the box score and you'll see reality, okay? I don't know how Dallas can construct their lineup. Hear me out. I don't know how Jones can construct a lineup around a $400 million quarterback with no running game. I don't, for the life of me, and Tommy will correct me if I'm wrong, and they've got a bruiser back there that didn't play yesterday, but if it's Elliott and the likes of, you got to be kidding me. These are guys that are going to average sub 3 yards per carry, and you've matched them up to support a $400 million quarterback? Okay, I'm missing something. I'm obviously wrong. Tommy's going to text me the second the podcast hits the streets. We didn't leave a lot of time for baseball, but I'd like Richie to fire us up with a play ball. He's got a really good one.
Play ball!
Thank you, Richie. That's really cool. What am I going to say about our Phils? They're doing what you expect them to do. Losing two games to the Marlins? No, but one's a triple-A game, all right? They're still sitting here. I'm looking at the fresh data. They're fifth in run production, 4.9. All right, who's leading run production? 5.43. Did you say the Diamondbacks? You're right. From the American League, who's leading run production? Did you say the Yankees? All right. And then the Dodgers and the Orioles and the Phillies. We're good. We're fine with that. Pitching. Are we the top anymore? No. Who's the top ERA team in baseball right now? 3-2-1. Seattle. You like their chances of the postseason? Not one little bit. All right. Then you got the Brewers, Braves, Philly, 3.74. How these teams trend, where they end up right now, the bottom of the order, with Marsh and Rojas, Wilson, Clemens, these guys, the bottom of the order right now is their run production. Schwarber's as hot as he's ever been, Harper's obviously still struggle with the power. I would not have had Harper in a game that was 10-0 after the third inning yesterday. He's on my bench. Matter of fact, I'm telling Harper to go get treatment or just take a PTO day. Leave the stadium and go relax, okay? Get off your feet. Go get a Chase Lounge somewhere. But anyway, why Harper's still batting in the ninth inning is beyond me. But a lot of things this weekend I watch are beyond me, you know? I look at Iowa's fifth-year quarterback with a QBR rating of 10. And I'm like, how on earth? You know, just the stuff that goes on. So, hey, listen, the Phillies are probably right where you want them to be. They have a shot, most wins. You know, it's 85, 86 Dodgers. You know, that's all going to change. 82, 80, 81 for San Diego. San Diego and Arizona looked unbeatable for 10 games and have returned to earth, so to speak. But isn't it funny? You put Tatis back in San Diego's lineup, and all of a sudden you have a weight in the lineup that's not working out like it was before Tatis was in there. That happens a lot, man. Talk about chemistry, okay? What it means in the locker room. But the Phillies are fine. The question that I got, and I'll respond like I did, I would not trade the Phillies roster for any in baseball. Certainly not the Orioles or the Yankees. But does that mean that I could certify them in postseason that the bottom of the lineup's going to have run production? No. Can I certify that Harper's going to have his power back by postseason, which is less than 30 days? No. Will Schwarber have an OPS of 1,500? No. Nope. Will Alex Baum be back and healthy enough to swing a bat against a major league fastball 100 miles an hour? Certainly not. So we don't know much, do we? We know that when healthy, okay, and they could field their lineup, that the Phillies 1 through 9 position players are, in my opinion, the best in baseball. Balance, most balanced in baseball. You got to put speed in there too. Pitching-wise, it didn't look good yesterday with Nola. But when things are right, we know the last 5 years that Wheeler / Nola is the best 1-2 punch in the postseason. Get the proof. Got the body of work, evidence, right? So, Your Honor, we rest on that point. Now, if you'd like to face in October on a chilly night when it's 42 degrees, if you'd like to face Strom and Hoffman, Alvarado, if he's fixed, okay, that nightmare left there coming in at 102, all right, Kerkreen, that group, and let's face it, the new guy we picked up looks like he belongs in there too. Those five are throwing nitro at 98 miles an hour, and when they're locating, they're not hittable. When they're not locating, they're hittable. And that was the stretch that they were in where they were hittable, and now they seem to have figured it out, and they got the focus on the camera back. So when they're painting black in the shadows, filthy away down, up and in, at 100 miles an hour, they're elite and not hittable. Remember, gang, that's the group. I gave you the stat, 10 podcasts ago. That's the group that over 33 innings, okay, had 48 strikeouts. Drum roll, please, Richie. And one walk and one run. That's elite. All right. Do you still have that core? Or do you have a bunch of pot? No, you have that core. Sure you do. But over the course of a 162 game schedule, unlike football where you play once a week, I heard somebody say football players are tougher than baseball players. Oh, what an ass. Anyway, you take any. No, I'm not going to get me started. No. Why was I going to? I was going to take the bait on that, wasn't I? Right. Tell you. JT fighting at a linebacker. I already told you JT would pin Kelsey in about 3 seconds. He was a college wrestler. But anyway, we can't predict what's going to happen in postseason. And I can give you all the other baseball stats you want about who's going to lead the league in home runs and other stuff. You don't really like analytics when I dive deep. About 3 people like that. So I'm not going to do that anymore. But, we all know it's how you're playing at the time. And the Phillies appear right now to, for the most part, have it together. What's my biggest concern? What is my biggest concern? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not relief pitching. Stamp that. Do you hear that? It's not starting pitching because we never worry about the 3 we were. I think the 3 and the 4 guys can make substantive contributions in postseason. Yes, I think the 3/4 guys could make a major contribution, and I'm excited about that. All right, so we're talking about Suarez and Sanchez. Don't worry about 5. It's non-existent. It's air. And I'm concerned a little about Harper's health And of course, you know, you don't know about the skinny on Alex Baum. He's got to get healthy and get back in and get his reps. One thing we do know about Major League Baseball, the hardest thing to do in all sports, you know, the jury has submitted the verdict that they would rather drive a funny car and have the top blow off of it 300 miles an hour, have a nitro fire inside the cockpit of a funny car. Can you imagine the noise and the whole thing's on fire? Of course, they're in a fire suit. And you're doing 300 and the canopy blows off. Oh, dear Lord. Or do you want to hop on that raging bull that no one has yet to ever get past 4 seconds on? And you're the next cowboy that's going to get strapped in and try to ride that sucker for 8 seconds. And you know you can't because nobody has yet. Or do you want to face a 103-mile-an-hour fastball as a left-handed batter from a left-handed pitcher? Okay, you take your pick. A lot of people are saying they'd rather drive the funny car. Too funny. Please don't say bike riding. Tour de France. Anyway, that's where we are. There's a lot more to talk about. But no, we are basically out of time, even with the edits. I want to keep it inside an hour this week. I miss my sidekick, Coach Al. Always very informative. Hope he's feeling better. And, of course, Bud, I mean, I felt like he was down in the Dizzy. I think he moved in the castle with Dizzy. But, man, we got some great pictures of the kids down there and living it up, Liv, and just memorable stuff that you count your blessings, man. You know you're living life the right way, and it's fun, and it's good, and do everything that's right in life, and good things happen back to you. I can promise you that, right? In the meantime, in closing, for the record, Your Honor, Chuck is in first place inside the Seafood Tower football room. And Bunny, holding his own, okay? He's in second. And then we got Joey, not so good shape right now. So I think, what else did I miss, man? We got some other stuff in baseball. We got home runs. I was going to play Schwarber 3 home runs. It feels like it was 8 weeks ago that I got that video on Schwarber, so we're going to skip all baseball videos. We'll get aligned. But we have enough for you here that are really good. And so I think it's going to be a pretty good show today. And Richie, I appreciate your extra effort today because I know you're still from afar doing what you do. I was approached last couple days about gambling. Yes. And somebody said, they actually called me and said that they would like to know if I would give out, if I would offer the services. Okay. And I told them as a part of the podcast, no, that's number one. That's a great way to hurt the podcast is to disappoint our listeners and our fan base, right? I go on an 0-for-4 streak and it costs you money and see how much you're tuning in. I did say to this individual, who I don't know very well, but he's been a listener, that we could work something out. So if you engage, I don't promote it, I don't do it. But if that's what you do and you have fun doing it and you've already given it your fantasy try, give me a call. We'll work something out, all right? And as long as I know that you're doing it the right way, which is having a cap on fun money for that stuff, right? Not serious money, not hard-earned money that goes into your wife and earnings, right, for home and all that. No. Fun money. All right, loose money, okay? Let's talk, all right? I'm off to a real good start. My percentage is like 70% so far in football, and it was that higher in baseball. You know what? I think this is what happens. Gambling is impossible, hence the reason I stopped. But then you turn 70, and you start to see a lot of it differently. I told several people to progress with the Marlins this weekend. I said, you're looking to cash one ticket, and if you don't hit it the first time, double yourself, okay, plus, and then this weekend will deliver to you. And sure enough, there's just certain things you've seen enough in your life where plus 28 with Northern Illinois. It, in my opinion, it was so obvious on paper off of Texas A&M. It was indeed a lock of the month, or you could make a fair argument, lock of the year. All right, when the team wins outright, they're getting 28, and they out-yard them by 100. There you go, a long way to saying that was a lock of the year, no doubt about it, all right? But I did use them as one of my locks. You've seen it long enough, and sometimes certain things come to you naturally, all right? So somebody once told me in the group, I should win. All right, and I have. I got 8 championships out of the first 15 years. Chatty has 5, 13, and Joey and Tommy, and that's our 15. Who knows what's going to happen this year? 609-828-5569. If you want to get a hold of me, talk sports, have an idea, recommendation to make the podcast better, we love that stuff, man. We love that stuff, and we will incorporate your ideas. You say it, we'll do it. What do we got? We have the the Phillies. You don't want to hear their schedule. You don't want to hear the Eagles' schedule, right? We got what we got. That's a wrap. Enjoy the week. The forecast looks like 80 degrees, low humidity, and sunshine for the next 10 days. Where the hell are we? San Diego? That's what it was like in San Diego. The guy came on and said, here's the weather. It's really nice out. It's 82, and the sun will be out with low humidity, gang, the next 10 days. That was the weather report. Gotta love it. So, Richie, you can take us the heck out of here. And you all have a blessed week, and do the right stuff. Help out, you know, give everybody a hug. Good things come back your way. All right, that's it. That's a wrap. Over and out.
The 2008 World Champions of Baseball.